Well, happy Father's Day to everyone, especially the fathers. And if you're a daddy, a dad, a father, a pops, I don't know what name you're called, you are blessed. You are blessed. God has blessed you with His heritage, His children. And it's neat to know that God says that our kids are actually His kids, that He gives to us to be stewards of, to take care of. Along with that blessing, He's given us a great responsibility. That our job is to raise our kids for His glory. And if we raise our kids to love and honor God, we succeed. Catch that? If we raise our kids to love and honor God, we succeed with everything. But if we do not raise them for this, nothing else we teach them matters. If we don't teach them to love and honor God, we fail altogether. It's a big responsibility, isn't it? Get quiet. It's hard as a dad to understand the depth of that. It's kind of intimidating at times, but it's important. Because being a man in today's culture may be a bit confusing. Because we're not supposed to do anything that a woman can't do. Until it's nasty or dangerous, yeah? There's a snake in the house? Men, you should be called. If the sewage breaks in the basement, call Mark. Wait, that's what I did. If there's a noise downstairs in the middle of the night, men, you better not be sending your wife. But you see, men, we should be ready and available to do these things. And yet at the same time, be able to be gentle, loving, and caring. We should want to protect our families all physically, emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. And this can be a tough job. I guess he wants to preach it. You say, we heard that. Amen. And it can be hard to be responsible for my family's safety because sometimes my family don't want to be protected. Sometimes I don't want to protect them because I enjoy the problems that is coming because I don't call them problems. We call them other things, don't we? But my responsibility is to protect them, not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and relationally. And we're to teach our kids, not only with our mouth, but with our lives. Understand this, dads. Our girls are watching us. If you have a daughter, she's watching you to learn what type of man to marry. Do you want that precious little girl to marry a man like you? Our boys are watching to see what type of man to become. You want your boy to become a man like you? You're teaching them. They're going to learn who to marry. They're going to learn what that man to become. And if you don't teach them, the media will. The social media will. Athletes, movies. We can go on that. But we know how well they can teach it, right? Understand this, that even the starting years of your child, you form their character within the first 6 years. Don't wait. Be involved. Most of us have an idea of what a man looks like, or we get ideas that have been given to us, often drawn up by TV. So each generation seems to be different. Talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Some of y'all would look at John Wayne and say, he's the man. Shoot him up, drink him up. Some of us would say, Mr. T. I pity the fool. Anybody with me on Mr. T? Yeah. Come on. Yeah, there we go. See? There is a man in a house. Yeah. Someone would look at Bruce Lee. Hey-ya! Yeah? Or Mike Tyson. You bite someone's ear off. Yeah? How about Terry Bradshaw? That's one ugly football player. He got beat the snot out of him, didn't he? Must be because he played for that team. Or we could look at a man that some of us really appreciate, Ronald Reagan. I love hearing his speeches. Look at today's generation. Caitlyn Jenner. Dylan Mulvaney. Be what you want to be. You don't have to be what God has created you. But the truth is, we want to set an example for a man in our lives. There is only one man that fits the bill for us to follow as an example, and his name is Jesus. We want to look at some of his characteristics as we start this series. And it'd be challenged in our life, maybe in some areas that we don't want to think about as men. But when we look at the life of Jesus, we know he was smart. He was pure. He was faithful. And guess what? We don't like to mention Jesus was tough. Jesus is the ultimate man. You want an example? Jesus, it's him. You want to imitate somebody? You want to know how to be a great daddy? You want to know what it looks like to be a great hubby? Let's look at the life of Jesus. See, we're called to be like Jesus. We're called to be like Christ. That means to put on his character, to think like him, to act like him. Romans 8:29 says this, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." God's desire is that every believer be conformed to Jesus Christ. If you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, that's where we're going to be. You and I are supposed to walk daily like Jesus walked, carrying a life that he walked. So much so that 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked." Mark chapter 10. So you're called that if you are in Christ, you place your faith in him, now we walk as Christ walked. We act and speak as Christ spoke. Husbands, you are told to lead like Christ. Ephesians 5:23 tells us, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." It don't mean I lead so that I can get my way and that I can be the boss. It means that as leader, I take the first bullet. Yeah? It means that as I lead, I guide and take them to the right path. It means that as I lead, I prepare the place for their arrival. That's what it means for you and I to be the leader. Husbands, you're called to love like Christ. Ephesians 5:29, "Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." When Jesus said, "I love you," he meant it. He stretched out his arms on that cross and he showed the depth of his love. Men, we're called to think like Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." This passage is speaking of the humility of Christ. He lowered himself to serve others. If we think like Jesus, our life is to serve others because we see their value. We serve others. And the first ones that we should serve is our own family. Men, our lives are no longer about us. You know who they're about? You know who my life should be about? Everything I say and do, or listen here in Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." My life ain't about me no more. It's about Jesus Christ. Once I place faith in him, my life belongs to him because he purchased me by saving me from eternal damnation. And I serve him. I let him live in me because I appreciate him. I love him. And as we begin to looking at the manly characteristics of Christ, we're going to start with an easy one. Jesus was sensitive and gentle. Not the terms that most of us men want to be described as. Well, he's a very sensitive guy. Shut up. I'll never say that again. But you know, there's a time to be sensitive. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So there's a time that you and I need to be sensitive and gentle. But at the same time, we must be strong. And Mark 10 is a popular story of Jesus dealing with children, as it is Father's Day. And this is quite the picture for us. And Jesus has been teaching a large group of people, and the Pharisees have been trying to trick him with questions, as they always did. But those around him have been watching and listening, and they heard him teach with power. Also notice him teach with love, and knew his reputation of loving and providing. And then Mark 10, go down to verse 13. And it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the men in this church that are men that want to represent you, live for you, guide their children to you. Thank you for the men that love their wives the way you love our church. Thank you for the men that chose to be here today over every other distraction and choice they had. Thank you for the men that are serving example, not only to their own kids, but younger fathers, younger men, to see men that will stand up and pray, praise you, seek your word. Lord, let us be challenged and comforted with your word today, that we would evaluate our own life. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. You've heard this. It's been distorted before in many ways, but it's a very powerful passage that we see. The first thing here is that Jesus became trusted. You know, Jesus was just trusted with the most valuable thing you can have. We know that trust doesn't come quickly, but the life of Jesus was very public. And what was Jesus known for? He was known for healing. He was known for having performed miracles, and the miracles always benefited others. He was known for teaching and preaching and providing. And here these Jews have been listening to him teach, seeing and hearing him with their own eyes, feeling his love, his concern, his guidance. And they could tell Jesus truly cared. Did you catch that? They could tell Jesus cared. He wasn't just up there to preach so that he could say, hey, here's the offering plate. Now, we're responsible for those things. But Jesus' purpose was to love people. That's why often when he would see groups of people, he would be moved by compassion, the scripture says. Broke his heart. Not because he saw an opportunity to take an offering. He never took an offering. We don't see that anywhere in scripture. But he wanted to be a shepherd. He wanted to care for people. He wanted to take care of them. And the people could sense that. They truly knew he cared. They trusted Jesus. Sometimes when you trust someone, you'll listen to them more intently, won't you? When you know someone's heart, you know their concern, you'll give more value to their words. You'll allow them to be closer to you. You allow them closer to those you love. If you're ever upset because people don't listen to you, they don't let you in their lives, they don't want to draw close to you, maybe your life hasn't earned trust. It's not an amenable moment, is it? But is it a thought? We can't live however we want and expect everybody to trust you when you say, oh, trust me on this. Because if you have to say, hey, just trust me, I'm probably not going to trust you. Because I should be able to trust every word that comes out of your mouth, not just when you say, trust me. Jesus earned trust with his life. People should be able to tell that you care about them. They should be able to tell that you have the best for their life. But we notice that Jesus has gained their trust, and these Jewish people wanted a blessing from any trusted rabbi, any teacher. They wanted them to pray on him or for him. The laying of hands. Excuse me. And as they knew the rabbi that would love them, they would bring their kids. And in verse 13, we see what they did. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. In today's lingo, we would probably word that differently just because of the perversion that goes on today. What that means is so Jesus could lay his hands on him and pray over him and bless them. And we see he does that later. They wanted Jesus to be able to pray over them, bless them. And when we know godly people, seek their prayers. Seek their prayers. Why? Because James 5 tells us the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A man that is intimate with God, his prayers matter. His prayers go directly to the heart of God. Does God hear all of our prayers? Yes. But he tells us a lot of our prayers are selfish, so he doesn't listen. But the prayers of a righteous man are seeking the heart of God. And Jesus tells the leaders when they pray for people to lay hands on those that are suffering. We should bring our kids before the church, even for baby dedication. I've shared that before. Babies are born. Many will practice the time of baby dedication. It's a commitment as parents to raise that kid for the admonition of the Lord. But also the leaders would pray over that baby, challenging the church to pray over that baby. Pray for you as parents. And that's the desire here, is to bring him for a blessing before Jesus Christ. There's a reason we should be praying for one another, that God would hear the prayers of a humble, godly man and bless. Just pray for one another. These people wanted Jesus to bless their kids. Would you take your kid to Jesus and ask for a blessing? That's what they're doing. The kids are gathering around Jesus, climbing on his lap, playing with his beard, probably drooling on him. You know, that's how it goes. Somebody's probably putting a dirty diaper on his desk. But there's kids all around. Kids are making noise during service. Kids make messes, don't they? Kids get grumpy. Kids are going to embarrass mommies. Any mamas, amen? But kids in church are always a blessing. Always. Stain the carpet, but let's have kids in here. Interrupt my message, but let's have kids. We should cover that noise. We should cover those messes. We should cover the crying. We should cover the embarrassment, because it means they're being raised up under God's word and with the people of God. Men, as we see Jesus here was trusted because of his life, we should live lives that would be trusted of others. When the world needs help, they know your heart. That they know you're not trying to take advantage of them or steal from them or gouge them or just use them to look good. They know you love them. We live lives that when they need to be comforted, they know your heart. When they need your prayers, they know that you're a righteous man and that your prayers go to the heart of God. Only then will they value your message. First, they want to know you care before they want to care about your message. Jesus' life here earned their trust. Amy and I have always been very picky with who we leave our kids with. Not so much now, you know. when he's 17 foot tall. It's a little easier to say, yeah, go hang out with them. Not as easy as I'm pretending here, but whenever we went years without a date because we just didn't have someone to leave kids with. But here we see parents that trusted Jesus so much. Hey, go sit on his lap. Go let him pray for you. I got to carry little Charlie around today. I put my hands out, and usually it's a... Today he reached out, and my heart skipped. That was awesome. And I thought, we're going to go for a walk. I thought I'd get about over here by Chuck, and he'd be like, We walked all around, waving at people. It was awesome. Thank you. I loved that. It was a great moment of trust. Thank you for trusting me with your child. Jesus was being trusted here. And then we see the next thing. As Jesus is being trusted, we saw the disciples erred. They were trying. I believe their heart, they were trying to do good here. But in verse 13, look what they did, the second half of it. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Disciples were trying to do good. They knew Jesus was busy. This is just a stop on his journey. The next place is coming. Jesus is traveling. So they want to help him make the best of their moment. Everybody quiet. No kids. Now's not a good time. Leave him alone. He's talking to your mommy and daddy. And so they're trying to do the right thing. But understand this. When in the New Testament, when you read through, just pay attention to this part. When Jesus dealt with people, he was never rushed. Jesus is never in a hurry. Oh, hurry up, I got to tell you the gospel. Woo! Next one, bye. No. He went to the Samaritan woman at the well. He got his disciples to go shopping for him. They left him, a very unusual situation, so that he could go and sit down at the well. And hey, can you give me some water? I want to give you some water, and you'll never thirst again. He spent time. He wasn't rushing through it. His disciples here understood that they were in a hurry. But Jesus cared about the people. He was gentle with those that were broken. The disciples thought the kids were being a distraction. Disciples thought, oh, the adults are the priority and need to hear this. And many of us might think, well, that's why we have a nursery. That's why we have junior church. Wrong. We don't have junior church and nursery just so adults can keep from being bothered. We have nursery, Sunday school, junior church, and Wednesday night kids time. Yes, it frees up the parent, but the main purpose is so we can minister to them kids. We can plant the seed of the gospel in those kids. We can appropriately reach those kids at their level. Not to just get rid of the kids so that we can minister to others, but to minister and encourage and grow the kids. You should see the curriculum that they're taught downstairs. They've got great curriculum. The teachers study and are ready, and they love them, their relationships. I get to hear some of the stories of them interacting with the kids, and they love the kids. It's not just a matter of, oh, I've got to get them out of here. No, they're loving on your kids. The kids on Wednesday nights get stickers and prizes for their commitments and things that they do on Wednesday nights. Ask your kids about the class. Ask your grandkids. It makes them reword and tell you what they've learned, so it reemphasizes it to themselves. Also, might challenge you. Take time and listen there. Disciples are trying to do good, but the disciples didn't understand that when it comes to people, Christ isn't in a hurry. Christ isn't in a hurry, and they rebuked the parents. You can imagine? Shh, hush that child. He'd make a noise in church. Keep him in the back so he's not a distraction. Sit him down. Quit bothering Jesus. Can you imagine? Shame on them, right? Let's be honest. Don't raise your hand. This is a Baptist moment. You ever felt that way? You see, that's what the disciples are doing. They think they're doing good. They have the right intention. They just haven't learned yet. The problem for them is they didn't know the desire of their master. They didn't pay attention to his purpose. Men, we got to seek and learn the purpose of God so we obey his will and his plan. What I see here so far is that children are trying to come to Christ. And they've been stopped. They've been hindered. And the third point I see here is Jesus is sensitive. Jesus is sensitive. You look at verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Jesus noticed what's going on. He's noticing what's happening. And he wasn't pleased with it. Jesus was watching. Let me just share this. Pastors see everything from the pulpit. You think you're picking your nose secretly. I want to yell out, that's a big one, you know. The hubby getting elbowed by the wife, the nips. The cell phones that just now were being checked. We see it from up here. We see it. There's a little bit old-fashioned in me that wants to call some of the stuff out. But I have to measure out the benefit of it. But I don't hurt somebody more. Jesus here was hurt. He saw what was happening. He was being sensitive to the situation. And he saw what was going on. He saw the kids were being held back from him. And it hurt him because he desired nothing more than relationship with people. He wanted to bless some kids because he cares about all who come to him. He was calling all men to himself. And he wants to bless whoever humbly comes to him. And what did Jesus say? Verse 14, second half. Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. He says, don't you stop them. Don't you make it difficult on them to approach me. You let them come. It's a very powerful statement. Jesus is not being demeaning. He's not putting them down. He's simply letting them know, I love those kids. He's saying, don't you dare do anything to keep them from me. Don't you make it hard for them to approach me. Don't place a stumbling block between them and me. Don't you dare tell them. And Jesus was sensitive to their desire. He was sensitive to them being hindered, and they wanted to come to him. He was sensitive to them not receiving the blessing. He was sensitive to not getting to hold them. Men, we've got to be sensitive to what is going on around us, in our own homes, with our own kids, with our own wives, watching the dangers that approach, watching how I can guide, how I can provide, watching how I am treating them. We've got to be sensitive as Christ was here. We got to be tuned and aware of what is going on in our families. The areas of possible danger where Satan is getting a foothold and bringing temptation. There are many things hindering our kids from knowing Jesus deeper. And it just might be that stinking cell phone. Do I harp on cell phones a lot? Because that is one of the biggest enemies today. Those things have replaced real relationships. They've distracted us from God's Word. I'm not big on using cell phones for your Bible. You know why? I know how easy it is. Mark 10, Facebook 3. It's just a quick Snapchat check. Instagram, it's just a picture. Double tap. Some of y'all have no clue what he just talked about. Good, keep it that way. But am I lying? That's been so destructive to marriages. I don't need to talk to you, I'll talk to them. Connecting with people you never thought you'd connect with. We've experienced couples being divorced because they connected with someone they knew in high school. Someone that knew the right things to say when the right thing needed to be said and touch your emotions, your feel bads. Sometimes those things need to be just thrown out the door. Lock them up. Have some family time. Look each other face to face and let's have a conversation face to face. Get rid of anything that's a danger and a hindrance to your family. Sometimes it's a secular teaching that we're supposed to accept sinful behavior. Don't allow those things in our lives. It destroys the work of God. It brings confusion to them. Well, it's the real world. Yeah, and you come home and you teach them the true world. You have a biblical worldview, not a secular worldview. The secular worldview is you be who you want to be. The biblical worldview is God created you to be His. He created you to carry His image and His holiness. It may be sports, dance, music, craft. Uh-oh, now you're stepping on toes. That got personal. What is it in your life that interferes with or takes priority over the things God calls us to do? That calls us for self-evaluation, doesn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. I don't need to help you. You know why? I need to be too busy evaluating my life. But I challenge you to evaluate your own. Before God, pray out, God, help me. Let me see what is priority here. It may be relationships that are hurtful. We have the responsibility to protect our families from toxic relationships. Not long after Amy and I got married, I had the right to go to her Facebook and delete relationships I don't think she should have. And guess what she can do to me? There should be that right. Why? I should want to protect her, and she should want to protect me. Fathers, let's stand up. It's hard because we live in a world that we're not supposed to do that. But we've been called by a God that tells us to do that. Men, we need to be sensitive to those areas that are going to bring hurt, that are going to separate our children, separate our wives from the blessing of God. So I got to be sensitive to the areas because Satan is good. He knows how to sneak in. He doesn't come in with a sign picketing, I'm devil, I'm going to destroy you, does he? He comes in with cute little, oh, this isn't bad, but if it's a distraction, it's bad. It's quiet in here. I could take an amen anytime. Okay, there we go, I got one. You see, we're called to be sensitive. That means to be watchful, attentive. Take notice, parents, dads, stop being in denial, thinking, oh, it won't hurt my kid. It won't affect my kid. My kid's stronger than that. My kid can do that. Let me tell you this. Poison takes a different effect on each person, but it always hurts or kills. Poison, a drop of poison may not kill me, but guess what? I don't want to drink it. Protect your family. The next thing we see, not only is Jesus sensitive, he's gentle. Gentle doesn't mean a pushover. Gentle simply means he understands the amount of pressure that needs to be placed on of something. Often it simply means be involved, spend time with. It doesn't just mean be there, but be involved. See the difference? Family day doesn't mean dad's out mowing the lawn, mom's in the sewing room, and the kids watching TV. That's not family day. Family day is when we're involved with one another. We're laughing at, with each other. Yeah? You know how much pressure was needed in this situation? Look at verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Is that gentle? Is that gentle? I told you before, I'm scared to death on baby visits. I love going when a baby's born to hospital. I love those visits. And then they say, you want to hold them? Inside, I want to say, yeah. Outside, I'm like, I'll break them. I'm scared. Because when you hold them, you got to be like gentle and stuff. You got to hold them sensitive, right? And there's a special touch to them. when Jesus reached down and picked up these little guys, and he laid his hands on them. The word actually being used here for children can refer even to infants. He laid his hands on them, blessing them. He loved them. And we see multiple times that Jesus loves children. See, the same man with the power to create the universe with the words of his mouth, the same man that we know in all eternity will have a sword from his mouth and laser beams from his eyes, the best we can word it, according to Revelation. The same man that stopped the hurricane. He's the one that broke the temple floors. This is the same man that reached down and picked up the little kids to love on them. Men, we need to be gentle. We need to know how much pressure needs to be put on someone. Kids need to see our gentle touch and know we see them. And that we place value in them. See that we love them. And that we want to spend time with them. If they don't think you want to be there, you've lost the whole purpose. Show interest in what they love to do. Let's bless them. When's the last time you prayed over your kids? Oh, but that's awkward. It's weird. Yeah. Only because we don't do it enough. When was the last time you had a family time of prayer? I just want to pray for you guys. I suggest you start doing it every night. At least. Okay. It's time for bed. We're all going to calm down. We're going to stop, turn off all the electronics. We're just going to have a time of prayer. Ask your family, how can I specifically pray for you? Guess what? The first couple times you'll be like, it's awkward. It's okay, Dad. You've got to be sensitive enough to know you need to do this. Say, how can I pray for you, son? How can I pray for you, daughter? Wife, how can I pray for you specifically? Share praises. Hey, you know, did you realize that God did this for our family this week? Did you realize God did this for us, how he protected us here and there? Man, what if we just taught our kid? We've given God praise, and now we're going to take our petitions to his throne. We're going to take our prayers to his throne, our praises. You see, kids need to see in our lives our love for God and our trust of God. And one last thing, very quickly. With all this said and done, Jesus taught a lesson in the midst of this. Jesus shared why kids are so special, why they're such a picture to you and I. Look at verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Because they have such faith, they wanted to spend time with Jesus. They came and they approached him. They trusted him. And Jesus declared that for someone to be a part of his kingdom, a part of his rulership, to be saved, to become a Christian, to be a part of his glory, he must be like this trusting child that believes the teaching of Christ and turn to follow him. Much like the little picture I painted earlier, and I didn't even think about it, that it would happen. Coming over to Charlie and him putting his hands out and letting me pick him up. That's you and I, trusting Jesus Christ. He's coming to me. And what he says, for you to enter the kingdom of God, we've got to say, yes, sir, I trust you. And just as that little boy let me carry him all around the sanctuary and wave to you weird people, we've got to trust Jesus once he picks us up. Because at that point, we stop living by sight and we start living by faith. But he says, those that enter the kingdom of heaven will have to trust me, will have to come to me. Sometimes we need to stop telling kids, grow up, and start telling adults, be a kid. Now, I didn't say be childish, but childlike. Having a soft and pliable heart that Christ wants to mold, having a desire to trust and walk with Jesus. pursuing the blessings of God. Men, to be the man of God, we must conform to the image of Christ. And today we see just a couple areas to be insensitive. That's recognize what's happening with your family. And be gentle, being involved in the lives that God has blessed us with. Let us take more steps of being like Christ. Would you stand with me? We need to be ready to be leaned on by our kids. And in order for them to be able to lean on us, first we need to lean on Jesus Christ. We're going to sing a song of closing that you're very familiar with. If you want to open a hymnal, 596, otherwise it'll be behind me, leaning on the everlasting arms. Just first verse.